Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We appreciate so much your tuning in today, and it's great to have you listening. We're looking at Luke 12 today, beginning in verse 35. That is Luke 12, beginning in verse 35, and we're going to be talking today about one of the most important subjects that we could possibly consider, and that is the end of time, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the judgment day. The Bible shows us that it is a certain fact, folks, that Jesus is coming again, that this world will come to an end, and in Luke chapter 12, Jesus teaches us several important lessons about that second coming. Now, what I want you to notice today is that we're going to look at three illustrations that Jesus gives about getting ourselves ready for the judgment day. So let's begin here in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. The first illustration here is the illustration of a wedding. And we're not talking about a wedding like you would see today in our country. We're talking about a wedding like it occurred in Jewish culture in the first century, because oftentimes those weddings would occur at night. And so Jesus tells these people that when it comes to the second coming of Jesus, they are to be prepared and we are to be ready, just as people then would get themselves ready for a wedding. Now, how did they do that? Well, in the first place, if you were going to attend a wedding back in the first century, you were going to have to do some walking. And when a Jew was going to have to walk or work or especially run, the Bible shows that he would do something to his outer garment, and that is, he would take that belt or sash and he would tie it up or he would tighten it around his waist so that his outward garment would not get in the way. So when the Bible says, let your loins be girded, that is, take that belt and tie it around your waist and tighten it up. That simply means to get yourself ready. It's kind of like you and I saying today that we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to get ready to get down to business. When the Bible says to gird up your loins, that's what it means. That is just a cultural expression, which means that you are to be ready. You're to get yourself prepared. And then he says to let your lights be burning. There's a song that says, let the lower lights be burning. This passage is talking about a candle, which is more of a lamp in Bible times. Now, a lamp in Bible times simply meant that a Jew would take a small vessel and he would put some olive oil in it, and then he would put a wick of some rope or some cloth and he would light it. That was the kind of light, kind of like our flashlight today, that these Jews would use. So when the wedding came, they were to get themselves ready, and they were also to have a lamp. You remember the illustration that Jesus gave about the 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and the 5 that were wise had enough oil in their lamps, and the 5 that were foolish did not. So here he uses this illustration of a lamp to say that you need to be ready. And he says about this wedding in verse 36, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Verse 37 says, blessed are those servants, when the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now again, he's using an illustration from his time, and that simply means that when the Lord comes again, he is going to reward those Christians who are faithful in serving him. Now let's go on to the second illustration that Jesus uses here in verse 39. And this is the somewhat different illustration of a thief and how a thief operates. In verse 39 and 40, Jesus said, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. So in verse 39, he uses the all too familiar example of how a thief operates. A thief waits, of course, until nobody's at home, and then he goes into that house. He breaks in and he steals. Well, Jesus says here that if the good man of the house, that is, the master of the house or the owner of the house, if he knew when the thief was coming, he would sit there and he would wait and he would not allow that thief to break into his house. He would guard his house and he would protect his house and his belongings. What does that illustrate? This is telling us here again, folks, that Jesus is going to come, as the Bible says in several places, as a thief in the night. A thief in the night comes unexpectedly. He's not going to announce when he's coming. You cannot predict it. And so people are not going to know until Jesus comes when he's going to arrive. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, "Ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now that's the nature of the second coming of Jesus. The Bible says that when Jesus comes again, people are going to be saying that things are going well. People are going to be thinking that they're going to go on as long as they want to. They're going to have plans. They're going to have goals. They're going to have schedules. They're going to have deadlines. And they're especially going to think that they have many good days ahead. Listen, folks, the Bible shows us over and over again, even if we don't consider the second coming of Christ, that our time here on earth can end very quickly. And the story of the rich fool teaches us that, because here was a man in the earlier part of this chapter who thought that he had enough to retire on. He thought that he had enough to live on for many good years to come. And he said to himself, "Take it easy, because you have enough to eat, drink, and be merry for many years." And that night, he died. So in the first place, we never know when we're going to die. And so we cannot set our minds on tomorrow and expect that tomorrow is going to bring what we planned it to bring to our lives. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night. And that shows us again, folks, that when any preacher tries to be a prophet today, and he tries to predict when Jesus is coming again, and he tries to tell people when the Lord is coming, we know that he has departed from the Bible. He's not teaching the scriptures anymore. He's teaching his own opinion. And the Bible plainly tells us in Mark 13, verse 32, that no man knows when the second coming of Jesus will be. All right, let's go to the third illustration here today. And that is the illustration of a steward. Now, this is probably an illustration that we're not as familiar with as we might be other illustrations in the Bible. A steward in Bible times was a manager. He was not the man that owned the property. He was the man that managed it. And so think in terms of a manager. A steward in Bible times was a man that was entrusted with a lot of responsibility. Now, he might be a steward that was in a home. And so the man that owned the home would hire this man called the steward. That steward or manager would manage the man's business, or he would see to his farm. If there were other servants in the house, he would oversee them as well. And sometimes he even looked after the children in that house. So here's a man who is entrusted with a lot of duties and a lot of obligations, and he answers to the owner. That's the important thing. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 41 that Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, do you speak this parable unto us or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." So this passage teaches us then that we are managers. We are stewards over what God has given to us. Now, what does that include? You say, "Well, what am I the manager over? How am I a steward in that sense?" Well, you're a steward or you're a manager over what God has entrusted to you. For instance, God has given time into your hands. God has given you opportunities to do good to other people and to serve Him. Now, what are you doing with those opportunities? How are you using your time? There are a lot of people that waste time. They are people that use their time for things other than what the Bible says we ought to be spending our time on. We're all going to answer to God for how we've used our time that God has given to us. You also have abilities. You have talents. Now, those talents vary. One man is good at one thing, another person is good at something else, but we all have abilities. Now, how are we using those abilities? We can use them for our own selfish interest. We can use them to promote some kind of worldly agenda or worldly interest. Or we can say, I'm going to use my abilities for God. I'm going to use what talent God has given me to further His cause here on this earth. And what about our money? God has given to us possessions. He's given to us our income and our money. How are we using it? Well, you see, there are some people that use it all for themselves, or they blow it, they waste it. But there are other people that say, God gave me the money that I have. Whether it's little or much, God gave it to me, and I'm going to honor Him. And so they give back to God as much as they can of what God has given to them. Now, folks, those are some things that are involved in being a steward in the sight of God. So the bottom line is this, that when the day of judgment comes, when Jesus comes again, people are going to give an account to Him for how they have used their lives, how they've used their time, how they've used their abilities, how they've used their money, how they have used their entire lives. And there are only one of two ways that they've used them. They have either used their lives for themselves, or they have dedicated their lives to God Almighty. So let's summarize right now what we've looked at today, and let's apply these lessons to our lives in a very special way as we think about the second coming of Jesus. When Jesus comes again, He's going to expect us to be prepared. The Bible says you be as prepared as you would as if you're going to an important wedding. People put a lot of emphasis on these earthly activities. Jesus said, let that be an example or an illustration of how that you're to keep your life ready so that when I come again, I will not find you unprepared. Number two, Jesus said, I'm going to come unexpectedly. I'm not going to announce that coming. You're not going to know what day I'm coming. You will not know the hour in which I come. So be ready at all times. Don't say to yourself, well, I'm going to live my life for me, and I'm going to enjoy all the things that I can right now, and someday later, when I think it's time, then I'll start living for God. Jesus said that is a foolish way to look at it, because our lives can end at any minute, and also the Lord is going to come unexpectedly, so be ready. And thirdly, Jesus said to be a steward. Be a good steward. Be a faithful and a wise steward or a wise manager over what God has given to you. So that when we stand before God in the judgment, and God looks at how we've used our time, He looks at how we've used our abilities, He looks at how we have used the money and the possessions that He's given to us, that we won't be ashamed. We won't have to say, well, Lord, I spent it all on myself. I invested it all in my interest and in my pleasure. So that we can, on the other hand, say, Lord, I've given my life to You. I've used my opportunities and time. I've used my abilities. And I've used also of my income and my possessions to glorify Your name. Folks, the judgment day is coming. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Are you ready for the judgment day? The Bible says it's coming, and we exhort one and all to prepare for that great day. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful rest of the day.